We're reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, Chapter 5. The Glories of Lord Nityananda Balaram. And we're somewhere around here. I guess we're beginning with 42. I'm just going to read the English until we get up to 51, I believe. There in the spiritual sky, the personal feature of Balaram called Mahasankarshan is the shelter of the spiritual energy. He is the primary cause, the cause of all causes. The variety of the pastimes of the spiritual energy is described as pure goodness, Vishuddha Sattva. It comprises all the abodes of Vaikuntha. The six attributes are all spiritual. Know for certain that they are all manifestations of the opulence of Sankarshan. There is one marginal potency known as the jiva. Mahasankarshan is the shelter of all jivas. Sankarshan is the original shelter of the Purusha, from whom this world is created and in whom it is dissolved. Jai Shri Shri Radhika Kulananda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Shri Pancha Tattva Ki Jai. He, Sankarshan, is the shelter of everything. He is wonderful in every respect, and his opulences are infinite. Even Ananta cannot describe his glory. That Sankarshan who is transcendental, pure goodness, is a partial expansion of Nityananda Balaram. I briefly explain the eighth verse. Now please listen with attention as I explain the ninth verse. So they rather a long I offer my full obeisances unto the lotus feet of Nityananda Ram, whose partial representation called Karana Dakshay Vishnu, lying on the Karana ocean, is the original Purusha, the master of the illusory energy and the shelter of all the universes. Translation: outside the Vaikuntha Bahire, outside the Vaikuntha planets. Yea, that Jyoti Maya Dhamma, impersonal Brahman effulgence. Dahara Bahire, outside that effulgence. Karna Arnava Dhamma, an ocean called Karna. Outside the Vaikuntha translation, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Outside the Vaikuntha planets is the impersonal Brahman effulgence, and beyond that effulgence is the Karna ocean or causal ocean. Please repeat. Outside the Vaikuntha planets is the impersonal Brahman effulgence. And beyond that effulgence is the Karna ocean or a causal ocean. Purport. The impersonal glowing effulgence known as impersonal Brahman is the outer space of the Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual sky. Beyond that impersonal Brahman is the great causal ocean, which lies between the material and spiritual skies. The material nature is a byproduct of this causal ocean. Karna Dakshay Vishnu, who lies on the causal ocean, creates the universes merely by glancing upon material nature. Therefore, Krishna personally has nothing to do with the material creation. The Bhagavad Gita confirms that the Lord glances over material nature, and thus she produces the many material universes. Neither Krishna in Goloka nor Narayana in Vaikuntha comes directly in contact with the material creation. They are completely aloof from the material energy. It is the function of Mahasankarshan in the form of Karna Dakshay Vishnu to glance over the material creation, which is situated beyond the limits of the causal ocean. Material nature is connected with the personality of Godhead, by his glance over her and nothing more. It is said that she is impregnated by the energy of his glance. Material energy, Maya, never even touches the causal ocean. The Lord's glance focuses upon her from a great distance away. The glancing power of the Lord agitates the entire cosmic energy, and thus its actions begin at once. This indicates that matter, however powerful she may be, has no power by herself. Her activity begins by the grace of the Lord, and then the entire cosmic creation is manifested in a systematic way. The analogy of a woman's conception can help us understand the subject to a certain extent. The mother is passive, but the father puts his energy within the mother, and thus she conceives. He supplies the ingredients for the birth of the child in her womb. She supplies the ingredients for the birth of the child in her womb. Similarly, the Lord activates material nature, which then supplies the ingredients for cosmic development. Material nature has two different phases. The aspect called pradhana supplies the material ingredients for cosmic development, and the aspect called maya causes the manifestation of her ingredients, which are temporary, like foam in the ocean. In reality, the temporary manifestations of material nature are originally caused by the spiritual glance of the Lord. The personality of Godhead is the direct or remote cause of creation, and material nature is the indirect or immediate cause. Materialistic scientists, puffed up by the magical changes their so-called inventions have brought about, cannot see the real potency of the Godhead behind matter. Therefore, the jugglery of science is gradually leading people to a godless civilization at the cost of the goal of human life. Having missed the goal of life, materialists run after self-sufficiency, not knowing that material nature is already self-sufficient by the grace of God, thus creating a colossal hoax in the name of civilization. They create an imbalance in the natural self-sufficiency of material nature. To think of material nature as all in all, not knowing the original cause, is ignorance. Lord Chaitanya appeared in order to dissipate this darkness of ignorance by igniting the spark of spiritual life that can, by his causeless mercy, enlighten the entire world. To explain how Maya acts by Krishna's power, the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita gives the analogy of an iron rod in a fire. Although the rod is not fire, it becomes red hot and acts like fire itself. Similarly, all the actions and reactions of material nature are not actually due the work of material nature, but are actions and reactions of the energy of the Supreme Lord manifested through matter. The power of electricity is transmitted through the medium of copper, but this does not mean that copper is electricity. The power is generated at a powerhouse under the control of an expert living being. Similarly, behind all the jugglery of the natural laws is the great living being, who is a person like the mechanical engineer in the powerhouse. It is by his intelligence that the entire cosmic creation moves in a systematic way. The modes of nature which directly cause material actions are also originally activated by Narayan. A simple analogy will explain how this is. When a potter manufactures a pot from clay, the potter's wheel, his tools, and the clay are the immediate causes of the pot. But the potter is the chief cause. Similarly, Narayan is the chief cause of all material creations, and the material energy supplies the ingredients of matter. Therefore, without Narayan, all other causes are useless, just as the potter's wheel and tools are useless without the potter himself. Since materialistic scientists ignore the personality of Godhead, it is as if they were concerned with the potter's wheel and its rotation, the potter's tools and the ingredients for the pots, but had no knowledge of the potter himself. Therefore, material science has created an imperfect godless civilization that is in gross ignorance of the ultimate cause. Scientific advancement should have a great aim, great goal to obtain, and that great goal should be the personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita is said that after conducting research for many, many births, great men of knowledge who stress the importance of experimental thought can know the personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all causes. When one knows him perfectly, one surrenders unto him and then becomes a Mahatma. So the text again, Vaikuntha Bahire Ye Jyotir Maya Dhamma Tahara Bahire Karanarnava Nama. Outside the Vaikuntha planets is the impersonal Brahman effulgence, and beyond that effulgence is the Karna ocean or causal ocean. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasutundeve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shinivadi Paskatyade Sadharane. Some very significant points are made in this verse. One of them is that Krishna is God, as usual, because all the Vedic literature, Vedais Charasavar Ahameva Vedyo, Vedanta Vid Vedakrit Eva Chaham. All the Vedic literature is meant to convince us that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yomam Evam Asamudo Janati Purushottama Sasarva Vit Bhajantemam Sarabhavena Bharata. That one who knows me as the Supreme Lord without any doubts is said to be the knower of everything, and therefore he engages himself in full devotional service, O son of Kunti. Iti Guyatama Shastram Idam Yuktva Mayanaga Etad Bhutva Buddhimatsat Skrita Krita Shabharata. This is the most confidential part of all the Vedic knowledge. Whoever knows this becomes wise, and his endeavors will know perfection. So although it is very simple to say that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but if it was so easy to understand, there would be no necessity of writing the Vedic literature with its 10 billion verses, which a billion are now current, plus the books that we have, such as Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, etc., etc. Therefore, it is not so easy to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But without understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then our life is incomplete. Now, in the material concept of life, because we are thinking other things to be our shelter. And what does shelter mean? We're looking for protection from the current problems we have arising from identifying ourselves with this gross and subtle body, plus our conceptions of life, which automatically cause everyone great fear and anxiety. And we're looking to not only take shelter of something to give us some peace, but we're hoping that by some arrangement we can find some positive happiness and satisfaction. Therefore, everyone, whatever they are, whatever they're doing, or whatever they're producing, is advertising that this will protect you and this will make you happy. Whether it be our relationships with one another, or it be our relationships with objects in the material world, we're seeking shelter and we're seeking happiness. But Bhagavad Gita tells us the only ultimate shelter for ourselves is Krishna, and the ultimate source of all happiness is Krishna. Therefore, here it also mentions that Krishna is lying on the causal ocean, and that the causal ocean is in the spiritual sky. In the spiritual sky, there are many Vaikuntha planets beyond our conception, either their size or exactly what's taking place within them. And then far, far away in the outer space, there is the Brahman effulgence, and far, far away from the in the Brahman effulgence, there is a causal ocean, and that causal ocean is also spiritual, whatever that might mean. Generally, we consider spiritual to not be affected by ignorance, by the illusory energy. And there, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is lying down in his form of Karnadakashaya Vishnu, and he glances over the causal ocean, and then far, far away from the causal ocean is the material energy. In other words, Krishna is not directly implicated in the material energy. So this is a little inconceivable, because it is also said that nothing goes on without Krishna's desire. And at the same time, nothing happens without Krishna's sanction. A.K. Desha Sitari Jagna Vishtraso Yati Parasya Brahmana Shakti Tatadem Eklam Jagat. Ekadesha sitagya jatera. Just like fire is situated in one place, ekadesha sitara jagna, So, in the same way, Krishna is situated in one place, and by his energies, everything's going on. And here the example is given. Generally, we're more conscious of the remote, the immediate causes. We see the material nature and we see the material energy moving, and someone may go a little bit behind that or have a little bit more subtle conception. For instance, our arm moves, and someone who's a physiologist may say because of the nervous system, and they trace it back to the brain and chemicals, and whatever else. But only when we trace it back all the way back can we actually understand what the original cause is. Because you can take all the ingredients that the scientists claim are the cause behind the creation, and you can leave them there for billions of years and they won't do anything. You can take the nerves, you can take the muscles, you can take all the different enzymes and hormones and leave them there, and they won't go anywhere. Therefore, their tracing back to try to find out what the cause is imperfect. And because they're biased, they'll never understand what the actual cause is, at least if they neglect or deny the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that there is a conscious person behind the material energy. And he has multifaceted energies. Parasya Shaktira Vividaya Shrute Svabhavaki Jnana Bala Kriya Cha. Just but he has so many energies that he doesn't have to personally take part in all activities for things to go on. He sets up the rules in the material energy, and everything happens according to his rules. But unless he supplies the energy, just like unless the powerhouse supplies the energy, that the wires, the light bulbs, all the arrangements are for nothing. They won't work. The energy is working, or these, through the light bulb and the wires and everything else, but ultimately without the energy, nothing goes on. So without Krishna's energy, nothing in this material world goes on. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. The material nature is just one of Krishna's energies and is moving under his direction. Everything that goes on is according to Krishna's desire. So therefore, here it says, at the same time, Krishna is aloof. Because we have to understand, Krishna wills, but he's not willing in the material energy simply according to his own will. He also senses the desire of the living entity, just like one can understand the flavor of a flower by smelling it. Therefore, since we've come here with a desire to become Krishna, that is, to imagine ourselves as an enjoyer and a controller of the material nature, therefore Krishna senses the different desires that we've accumulated, or that we become attached to, that we think about, that we feel about, that we will to carry out with our senses. He understands all these things perfectly, and according to our merit, he manifests the material nature in such a way as to carry out our desire, all the while keeping us in ignorance, thinking ourselves to be the actual doer of the activity. Or as Krishna says, prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered soul, bewildered by the three modes of material nature, he thinks himself to be the doer of the activities, but they're all actually carried out by the modes of nature. Behind the modes, as it says here, is Krishna. So all the energy comes from Krishna. The activities are ultimately being directed by Krishna. The energy is being supplied by Krishna. The only thing we're doing is supplying desires. Either our desire can be properly directed if it's directed under the representative of Krishna, if we engage Krishna's, if we desire to engage Krishna's energies in his service as Krishna would want them to be engaged. Or when we give up that, when we reject that desire or those desires, then we have the, then we're presented by the illusory energy with a variety of desires under the three modes of material nature, either to become a Brahma or to become an insignificant ant. By following these desires, we'll wind up in some particular body in the 8,400,000 species of life, all the while fancying ourselves to be the enjoyers of the material energy and its controllers. But no one should blame Krishna for our entanglement in the material world, although he arranges it for us because of our desire. One may be given some opportunity to do something, but one cannot blame the person who gives the opportunity. The father may give his children some allowance, and each child may utilize that allowance according to his desire. But you can't blame the father for how the children utilize what they're given. The father may try to instruct the children so that they utilize their money wisely, but if they reject the father's advice and get bad association, then one cannot blame the father for supplying the energy and then the children misusing it. So in the same way, Krishna is giving us an opportunity either to become entangled or to become liberated according to our desire, but we cannot blame him for our entanglement. We can only appreciate his desire to try to liberate us. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, yata kasho sito nityam vayu sarvatar go mahan tata sarvani bhutani matstani tipadarya. Just like the everywhere the air is blowing, but it always rests within space, so the whole cosmic manifestation, it rests within Krishna, but Krishna is still aloof from it. Now, if we understand Krishna, if we develop some faith in Krishna, then the result is that we should try to take shelter of Krishna. And all our Vedic literature tells us in the variety of ways of taking shelter of Krishna. But ultimately Krishna says, sarva dharma prityaja mamekam sharanam vraja ahang tvang sarapa pebyo mokshi syami masuchaha. Give up all the other shelters that we're trying to take shelter of, some better, some worse, and surrender to me. In return, I'll protect you from all sinful reactions. So that surrender, of course, goes in stages, as it says, anukulyasya sankalpa. First of all, to accept things which are favorable for Krishna consciousness. Therefore, it's recommended to chant 16 rounds a day, at least, to chant Hare Krishna. That's certainly the most favorable to developing Krishna consciousness. And the sadhana that we have, such as worshiping the deities and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, serving the devotees, living in a sacred place, all these things are favorable. And then pratikulyasya varjana. Then to give up the things that are unfavorable, sinful activities, illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, intoxication, mental speculation, so many varieties of things, which are ultimately very unfavorable for our cultivation of Krishna consciousness. So to give them up, to accept favorable and then unfavorable, and the result is that we should get more and more realization. It is not just working externally, but to come to the platform of seeing things from the absolute perspective. That is, to believe, rakshisyatiti vishvaso, that Krishna will actually maintain us. Not to be always in anxiety, what's going to happen, what's going to happen. Those who are pious, they run to Krishna, to the temple, and pray for different things. And those who are not pious, they run to the bank for a loan. Always in anxiety, what's going to happen, how to protect myself, my family. So one has to believe that Krishna will protect us, that if I take shelter of Krishna, then he can actually supply what I need. To those who are constantly meditating by my transcendental form, who engage in devotional service without deviation, I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. So that faith develops as we become more serious about utilizing our life entirely for simply doing what Krishna wants and not doing anything he doesn't want. As we do that, then we get faith that Krishna is actually going to help me. Of course, if one puts oneself in a situation such as distributing Prabhupada's books, and one confronts obstacles and one feels that one has no shelter other than Krishna, if one engages in some service where naturally one will be forced to depend upon Krishna, then that realization becomes even more quickly, because the whole thing depends upon just that feeling of dependency upon Krishna. The more we have that genuine feeling of depending upon Krishna, then the more Krishna reciprocates and manifests himself to us in such a way as we become realized that Krishna is dependable. That he will actually supply what we lack in every respect, including our Krishna consciousness, and preserve that Krishna consciousness that we have. Then, rakshisya titi vishvaso, the Krishna will actually protect us from unfavorable influences, especially that tend to drag the mind away from Krishna. He'll give us good association, and he'll help us avoid bad association. He'll give us a distaste for bad association, and he'll give us a taste for good association. Then, to have no other desire, or to have no interest outside of Krishna's interest, rakshisi syati vishvaso goptrive varnam tata, that only my real interest is to come in contact with Krishna, because I'm the same nature as Krishna. Therefore, since I want happiness and Krishna is happiness himself, he's the reservoir of unlimited happiness, my real interest is to take shelter of Krishna and to become conscious of Krishna. And there's no other interest besides that for all living entities. Whatever shelter they're seeking is all found within Krishna. And then when one realizes how wonderful Krishna is, how great Krishna is, then one always feels meek and humble. Without realizing Krishna's greatness, our meek and humble our meekness and humility will always be rather relative. Therefore, we have to develop some, at least, faith that Krishna is God, and he's a good God. He's a nice person. And all the bad is not due to him, it's due to us. And all the good is due to him. Of course, the living entity by nature is good, but Krishna is the supreme good, so he's the ultimate good. And to learn the sciences explains here how the cause behind everything, Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarna Karna. That the cause behind all this, whatever is going on, whether we like it or we don't like it, is all due to Krishna. What we see bad in the material world that we may not like is due to people's sinful activities in the past. And what we see good in the material world is due to the fact that they've taken shelter to some extent in Krishna. And the ultimate good will be found when we take ultimate shelter in Krishna, or complete shelter in Krishna. Therefore, the solution to all the problems, the most direct solution, itatura mulaj nishe chenena triptyanti tatskanda bujo prashaka pranaharas chayatendriyanam tataiva sarvahanam atuteja. If we water the root of the tree, naturally the water goes to all the leaves and branches. When we supply food to the stomach, naturally all the different parts of the body are served. And when we serve Krishna, naturally everyone becomes peaceful and happy and satisfied. So there are so many bad things going on in this world. But there's one good thing that's going on, ultimately. Kalo doshe nide rajan yasta yeka mahagunan kirtanya eva krishnasya mukta sangha param virjet. There's one good thing that's happening in the material world, in this ocean of faults. That is the presentation of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the ability to directly associate with him and take shelter of him through the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So although we have our economic systems, we have our political systems, we have our social systems that we can present as an alternative to the modern atheistic, materialistic, impersonalistic systems that are now being presented, we have the ultimate shelter and the holy name that we can present if people, and all these other symptoms are just meant ultimately to help us understand that there's only one shelter, that is Krishna and Krishna's representatives. So we'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?